Ask any NFL player, and their story is likely the same in one fundamental way. Their love of the game started the minute their hands gripped the leather. From there, it became a dream of playing under the Friday night lights, being recruited to a top college, being drafted into the National Football League. But achieving all of that isn't where the dream ends. It's where it begins. It was an off-season of change for the Cleveland Browns, but one that brought a new group of collaborators together with a single mission: to win football games. And the journey began with a draft full of bold moves and strong decisions.
First and foremost, obviously, we're looking for skill and talent.
I think we set out to strengthen our team, improve our team in a lot of different areas. And I think we've accomplished a lot of that.
We're excited about every one of these guys, and some for different reasons. I'm just looking through the list now, but they're all so different.
We wanted to find men who would have an opportunity to come into our organization and not just add on the football field, but also add to the organization, that they would be good players, but good people.
A toughness, both a physical but also a mental toughness. A desire to compete.
They got to fit in with the rest of our guys and be willing to accept the things that we do here and how we do it.
Guys who are willing to work and be part of our Cleveland Brown family.
It's about them fitting in and fitting into our culture and understanding what we've already created thus far and making sure that they understand what it takes to be a Cleveland Brown.
I think it's a group that works extremely hard. I think they're very respectful of the veteran players, and that's the way it should be. They have to earn their right to be on this football team and earn their skins.
They've really demonstrated that quality, that they truly love football. Pro football's tough. It's not for everybody. Everybody can't do it.
I think most of the young guys have had to strip themselves of what their past has been. The mental part is really even heightened a little more at this level than maybe the college level, because there's a bunch of men that you're very accountable to, that you have to make sure that you're doing your job to give our football team the best opportunity to win. But if we work and do what we know we're capable of doing, nobody knows how this season will unfold. But we have something to say about that by what we decide to do as a group of men that's chasing something that we truly want, and that's to win.
They're going to fit right in and provide us some more weapons on offense and defense and maybe special teams as well. We feel really good about where we are, and Browns fans should be tremendously excited about the future of the franchise.
What will make you great? You hear me? I'm going to push you like you've never been pushed. Because you got so much ability, it ain't even funny. But it's an everyday thing. It's focus, it's mindset, because I know what you want. You got to go get it.
You know, it's like kind of starting over, and you do. You really have to jump in, 100%. And that's what I've asked our rookies to do. You know, whatever you've done at whatever college you were, let's let that go. Let's understand that there is a true culture here.
This is our home, and we will protect this house, boys. This is our home, and we'll protect this house.
But you're not a pro football player, too. You are a pro football player, and a lot goes into that.
This right here is your house. This is home, and you always take care of home. You dominate at home.
Possibly no draft pick causes as much controversy as a quarterback. And no matter where in the draft they're taken, the pick will be scrutinized until he's proven a success. It was no different when the Browns drafted Cody Kessler in the third round.
Hello, this is Cody. Cody, how you doing, man? This is Chisholm Opar with the Cleveland Browns.
I'm doing good. How are
Cody, hey, we just drafted you. This is Sash and Hugh Jackson from the Cleveland Browns. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Coach, I was hoping for this. Appreciate it.
You ready to come out and get to work?
Yes, sir. I'm ready right now.
With a 93rd pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select
Cody Kessler, quarterback, USC.
Both my parents coached sports. I was born, raised in athletics. My dad coached football and baseball for high school for 20 years. My mom coached volleyball and basketball. I played all sports as a kid. I tried everything out, see what I liked. When it came down to it, I think it was my sophomore year in high school when I got my first chance to play on varsity for football. And, you know, I realized at that point, it wasn't necessarily which one did I love more. It was just which one would I, you know, not be able to live without. For me, it came down to, you know, I couldn't live without football. I felt that leadership role at a young age, and I really enjoyed it. And I really felt comfortable, especially playing the quarterback position. And for me, I think when I got my first scholarship my sophomore year, I realized, okay, you know, I have an opportunity now for something that, you know, I knew I wanted to pursue. I've had a great experience so far with Coach Jackson and his entire staff, and there's so many resources available to you. But you have to go out and find them. You know, in college, they would make you go to this, make you go to that. You know, in the NFL, you become, you know, a lot more responsible for yourself. You know, you'll do so much in the facility with practice, you know, working out, and then, you know, watching film. But there's so much more you have to do on your own.
We drafted him on this team to make that quarterback room better. And how he competes and where he grows from there, that will all show itself in time.
It's exciting to get back into football again. You know, you went through this whole draft process, combine, you're working out. You know, you have guys you're training with, but it's more individual stuff. And training camp, again, is something that, you know, it's a grind. It's something that you come in and, you know, you got to be mentally and physically prepared. Coach Jackson is a guy that loves the game of football. He loves the quarterback position. For me, I just love high-energy, high-intensity coaches. You know, I've always had those.
Whoa, Cody, get the formation right. Tight. There you go. Nice ball. Atta baby. Nice job, Cody.
I think it's great. I think it gets the best out of me when I have a coach who's on me really hard and, you know, expects greatness from you, wants you to be great and demands perfection pretty much every play. And for me, it's fascinating. It's awesome to sit there and listen to him talk. You know, his offensive mind for the game is better than, you know, I've been around a lot of great coaches. He's right there at the top. Coach Hamilton is also the same way. You know, he's a guy that I spend a lot more time with, obviously, in the quarterback room and him one-on-one with us. But, you know, he's a guy that can relay Coach Jackson's message in a way that, you know, makes it productive. Josh is awesome. He's a great guy. He, you know, he's probably been the hardest on me. He's like another coach out there, too. You know, I was talking to him today, and I just said, hey, man, I just want to say thank you for, you know, being hard on me and helping me out and everything and just staying on me. And he's like, man, I want you guys to succeed. I love watching young guys succeed. I've been here for a while, and I want to see you be great. For me, that means a lot. When you get to training camp, it's a whole nother level. And obviously, it'll be my first year, so I'll still be learning as I go and try to get everything I can and take everything in. But at the same time, it's just, you know, back to football, back to the game that I've been playing, you know, since I was a kid. And it's something that I'm looking forward to. I'm excited, and I can't wait.
Up next on Building the Browns, meet the rookie wide receivers vying for a place on the roster and the man that was brought in to show them what it takes to succeed in the NFL. In life, there's nothing quite like falling in love. It can be as exhilarating as it is heartbreaking. It can make everything else seem insignificant. And it's the love of the game, combined with skill, that can find you drafted into the NFL.
I fell in love with football when I was about 5 years old, playing in the neighborhood. We used to always play this game called Throw Up Tackle. And when I first started playing that game, I knew I wanted to go to the NFL as a little boy.
I first started playing football when I was, about five or six. I played Little League, Pee Wee. So I was a defensive player. I like catching picks. I made the switch to wide receiver, and I think my sophomore year, I played on varsity.
I would go outside and I see like the older kids playing football. I'm like, you know, what are they doing out there? I didn't know what it was at the time. So, you know, started playing on the street with the boys and then, you know, just went to school, was playing it. Everybody who was around me knew that, you know, that's what I wanted to do. So they always encouraged me.
I was very young, third grade, I think. They had me on the O-line. So You know, and my mom eventually, through the whole season, eventually went and told them, you know, hey, he's not an O-lineman, he's a receiver. It's not like I was big or anything, I was a skinny kid. So eventually put me at receiver, and I caught my first pass. Was like a 40-yard bomb, and I caught it, and then, you know, the rest is history. Just been a receiver ever since.
When I first started playing in the fourth grade, I was a quarterback. I can remember going to the head coach with my dad at the time and being like, I want to play quarterback. He's like, all right. I had a short little tryout. And from then on out until my senior year of high school, I was a quarterback. That all changed when I got to college.
Not much can prepare a rookie for the rigors and competition of being on an NFL roster. They depend heavily on the examples they're given from their veteran counterparts, and their ability to adapt can be what sets them apart from their peers.
Well, I know for the rookies, we're trying to learn everything that we can, and it's a lot. It's a lot to be thrown at us, and I mean, we're picking it on pretty fine, but we're looking forward to this season.
We're all blessed to be here, and it's just exciting. You know, Coach Jackson is a wonderful guy, wonderful coach, and, you know, expects the best for us, so we're coming in every day, heads down and working hard.
You get one move, you got to run like a son of a gun. Come on, come on. That's what you got to do. You have to. When you do that, that's when you're going to become great. I'm telling you.
It's been pretty smooth so far, you know, having a lot of veterans help you out, trying to figure things out because, you know, as a rookie, come in kind of lost. The Browns have a lot of resources when it comes to making that transition, so it's been pretty good so far.
It's an unknown thing going into the NFL. So the biggest thing that you're going to deal with is, you know, maybe times are going to get tough, lack of confidence, just a lot of the mental portion of it, studying the playbook. Those are all things that you're going to have to overcome. And confidence comes from being prepared. So that's, you know, one of the things that I'm going to be really trying to work on is just always being prepared every single day that I show up.
I'm excited most about kind of having the playbook under my belt from an assignment standpoint, and I'm excited to kind of take the next step during training camp.
Coach Sanders, he's passionate. He's been in the game a long time. He always telling us all kind of stories of the greats that he's coached and how he know how and what we got to do to win. So I'm soaking in all the knowledge that I can from him.
He's been around great players, so everything he tells me, I'm trying to, you know, pick his brain, trying to learn everything. He only expects greatness. You know, I can be blocking down the field for like 2 seconds, but hey, Coleman, hold it for 10 seconds. And I like a coach like that who's going to push me. You know, he's done a lot for me already, helping me getting better.
You know, he's been in a long time, so he knows what it takes. So whenever he says something, you know, you probably haven't heard it before, so you have to apply and you have to listen to what he's saying because he knows what he's talking about. He has a great character. He's going to make you laugh. He can see when you're down. He wants you to be lively just like he is, you know, on the field.
Coach Mora has told me that he's one of the best coaches he's ever coached with in the NFL. So I'm excited to give him my all, and I'm excited to get after it with him.
The coaches here strike a really good balance with having very high expectations and maintaining authority and control, but at the same time being very understanding of what it's like to be a player and just coaching really well because of that.
There's no greater feeling of accomplishment and joy than a teacher to see your students get an A in the test. Oftentimes, the expertise and the experience of older coaches who've been through it quite a bit now give you an opportunity to learn a lot quicker and allows you to grow and get better in what you do. I like the idea of being a part of an organization that can go in an upward direction. And that's the excitement and joy I get out of coaching is watching a player who maybe you've given a couple of different techniques or ideas on how to improve their game, and then you look and they do that, and they have, you know, some sense of success themselves.
Well, I heard training camp's going to be pretty hard. Life is hard. You just got to be willing to do everything and just be on the field wherever I can be at.
You know, coming into this this offense is, you know, it's not easy to learn. So you're going to be out there with your head spinning sometimes. You know, even though you study a lot, you might go out there and forget something. Collectively as a group, we got to work together and just make everybody look good.
I'm excited, you know, I'm excited to really dive into this professional life, you know, in all aspects, you know, and just really help the change and get after it.
You know, everyone's so willing in there to help each other. I think it's pretty special because I don't think that's not a lot of organizations like that, but the vets in there, they're amazing. They help us if we didn't know what to run or what play, you know, they're not selfish at all. It's all about the team, and, you know, I'm just happy to be a part of a team just like that.
When Building the Browns returns, the original top dog passes the torch to the new generation of Browns defensive backs, and go inside the film room for a breakdown of the undrafted rookies and the potential that's seen in them. The Browns drafted two new members into their secondary in 2016 in safety Derek Kindred and cornerback Trey Caldwell.
There's something about football then that kind of just brings that man out of you, just like that mentality, that just fire mentality out of you.
I first started playing football, I was 8 years old, you know. My parents, my whole family was really athletic, and, you know, we always just talked about, you know, getting out there and doing something and just going to have fun. And, you know, I just felt like my talent could take me somewhere further. And once I got real comfortable and I'm playing fast, you know, I just felt like I could make it to the next level from here. You know, I always push for the next level. I never really settle myself short.
Some of my high school coaches back home, my position coach at Louisiana Monroe, you know, they just said keep working. They know I had the talent, you know, I just had to keep pushing. I knew I had to just keep working harder and harder for Pro Day, you know, to put my name out there.
Kindred and Caldwell were rewarded for their hard work in college and were taken by the Cleveland Browns in the fourth and fifth rounds, respectively. But a draft pick doesn't guarantee a spot on the 53-man roster, and the competition is like none they've seen before.
You're going to have longer days than, you know, people that's been here, and you just got to prepare yourself for that.
Everybody's great. Like, everybody's here for that one spot. It's so competitive.
It's a motivator. I'm a real physical person, you know. I'd rather do the hitting than getting hit. So, I mean, it's just fun for me.
It's the little things. You just got to perfect your craft every day. Little things as far as technique. Are you low? Are you low sending to the ground? Do you come on your break fast? Do you run to the ball? I just got to keep working to make myself on that roster spot.
A legacy is more than the stats you leave on the field. It's also how you're remembered in the hearts of the fans. Few Browns have left as lasting of an impression as Hanford Dixon, one of the men that were the first to bark.
The pulse of the dog defense was the best set of corners in the game. All-Pros Frank Minifield and Hanford Dixon. Dixon, a Pro Bowl starter, was seldom beaten on pass routes.
Hey, how you doing? Hanford Dixon.
It's good to meet you.
Oh, man, it's my pleasure.
What's up, Derek?
How you doing?
Hey, man, Hanford Dixon, how you doing?
I'm good.
All right, welcome to Cleveland.
Yes, sir.
What have you guys heard so far about the dog pound? I want to hear that. You heard anything?
We haven't heard. Or are you just learning about it?
We're learning about the dog pound, yeah.
Well, let me tell you how this whole thing started.
I had a partner who played the other corner with me, a guy by the name of Frank Minifield. And we were two all-pro corners. I mean, we were just lockdown corners. That's all we did. I never forget, it was one day in training camp. I was sitting down thinking, we always had the great linebackers, but we've never had a great, great defensive line. So we were trying to think of something to help them out. And I said, well, why don't we just start barking at the defensive line? And what happened is they'll think, we told those guys, think of you guys as being the dogs and that quarterback being a cat.
Yeah.
And you guys go get them. And it was initially for the defensive line. But once we started barking, the fans just took over the whole damn thing. And now it's just history right now. I never forget. I was a little young kid like you guys are. It was just like,
man, I'm finally made it, and I'm in the NFL, and you're up against, and you're going to play against all these guys who you see and you wanted to play against and you always dreamed about, and it was just like, wow. Yeah. What's been the biggest adjustment for you guys coming from college to the pros?
As far as the practices and things like that, it's been pretty smooth. We've been getting faster with the pace of the game. When you're a senior in college, you pretty much had a playbook down pack, and you come here and you're basically a freshman all over again trying to learn a new system.
You know, we've been so used to what plays we need to be calling for 4 straight years in college. Now, going over to minicamp, OTAs, we still got to process that, you know, make it quicker so we can just go out and ball on the field.
One thing that always kept us going that was very, very important to us was preparation. In the NFL, you have to take it to a new level. You really, really, really have to be prepared. You really have to know your opponent. You have to know everything that he is going to do. And that comes from your film study, and you're just studying everything about him. Because teams, I found out, they're going to do certain things or try to do certain things to you.
Yeah.
But they're going to try to change it with like different formations. But that's when your film study comes into play. But you have to know your opponent. You have to know, because obviously you guys know we're going against, especially on the corner, we're going against world-class athletes. And these guys know where they're going, and we don't know. And as for safety, you also, you have to come up and support. And occasionally, you're going to be in coverage too. But you have to get that edge on these guys by your preparation. Is there anything that you could take from college and bring it to the NFL that can help you?
Like you talked about, film study. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, I was preparing 2-3 days before a game, you know, looking at, say, the alignments of the receivers, just the formations and stuff like that to help me prepare. So,
I say, you know, my leadership, you know, I was one of the captains on the team, so I bring my leadership and, you know, my drive for the game, which got me here. So that's what I could bring from college.
Well, I got to say, I was reading a little something about you, and you played pretty much a whole season with your collarbone hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, talking about tough, I can't even imagine that. I mean, and being a safety, when you come up and hit, I mean, obviously there were pain involved.
Yeah, it was a lot of pain, you know, after the game. You know, my trainers did a great job back in school, you know, keeping me safe throughout the whole game. And, you know, they checked on me after every series and made sure I was doing fine, things like that. But it was just, you know, I had to show a lot of mental toughness and, you know, leadership for my team.
As a cornerback and both of you guys as defensive backs, I don't care what anybody say to you, you can make this football team. You can make this football team. You can play in this league, but you have to believe that yourself. I'm looking forward to watching you guys and watching you prosper, watch you grow, and watch you become the player that I think you guys could be and the player that you guys know that you could be. But I want you to know also, if there's anything, I mean anything, that I could do to help you, feel free to let me know, give me a call and all that. And I just wish you guys a lot of success.
I'm
looking forward to it, because I know you guys going to be players.
Yes, sir.
Be players.
Thank you for talking to us.
You're welcome, big dog.
All right.
Thank you, dog.
Thanks.
Good luck to you, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. You got it.
All right.
Coming up next on Building the Browns, Andrew Berry and Chisholm Opara break down the undrafted rookie class and hear from a player with a family legacy to live up to. The work that goes into building the 53-man roster is never-ending. When the Browns added Vice President of Player Personnel Andrew Berry in January, he joined a staff facing an exciting challenge of rebuilding the Browns roster. Joining him is Chisholm Opara, Director of Player Personnel, a 12-year veteran of the Browns staff. For them, the ongoing process of player evaluation comes into sharper focus during training camp.
I'm looking forward to this training camp because I'm looking forward to see competition. You know, it really all starts with the area scout, because a lot of these players, they really get on our radar because there is a scout that goes to bat for the player's skill set. You know, there are players that go undrafted because the draft isn't an exact science that can produce in the NFL. These are the hard guys to find, and so there's an immense amount of pride within our department and for the individual scout when we do find a player who ends up having those make it qualities.
Dominique Alexander, he was a guy that I saw who was really athletic. You liked his movement skills. He kind of has the athletic tools that you think that he's going to have a chance to play on in coverage teams, to play on kick return, and to make an impact on special teams early in his career. JP looked like a guy to me who was willing to do the dirty work as a blocker. He has a temperament that you kind of want at that position, where he doesn't just think that I'm here to catch passes, running situations. He's really willing to stick his face in there and really compete.
You don't usually see players with his size as effective as inline blockers at the tight end position. And in the passing game, he's a bit of a vacuum in terms of his hands.
Tracy Howard was a very intriguing prospect for us. As a matter of fact, you know, when he came in on his visit, one of the things that stood out to me was that this kid is confident.
He's certainly a player that I know all of us are really excited to watch during August, and he really should push for a roster spot.
Niall was an impressive guy for me to watch. You know, he doesn't have ideal size and length that you want in the middle, but he's always taking up two blockers. He's squeezing down run lanes, and he's making things easier for the linebackers to make plays behind him. So you could tell that he's kind of wired the way you want out of somebody who's going to make a living in the trenches.
I mean, he's really one of those, like, fire hydrant, short, squatty, you know, nose tackles who can just sort of wad up the middle of the line of scrimmage. He will be an effective run plugger.
Kyle Rose was a guy, to me, who stood out because of his position versatility, his toughness, and his willingness to kind of absorb blocks and do his job so other people could be successful.
He's a little bit like a Swiss Army knife in the fact that he can play multiple spots along the defensive line. Players with that skill set, they have incredible roster value if they can do that at a high level.
When you hear that Matthews name, that's kind of royalty in the NFL. And they've shown a track record of knowing how to play, and it's in their blood. And Mike is no different. You know, Mike is a slightly undersized guy, out-dueling and out-playing people who are going in the first, second, and third rounds of the draft.
Absolutely. I mean, he plays with low pad level, and we're certainly optimistic about his ability to compete in camp.
Hard work and determination, combined with a fundamental need to succeed, can take a player far. But his first test will be what he can deliver during training camp.
Growing up in a football family is obviously a huge blessing. Everyone in the city knows that my uncle Clay Matthews played here for a pretty long time, and my dad has been a huge impact in my life. Bruce Matthews was drafted by the Houston Oilers, and him being a Hall of Famer and having the career that he had, as I've grown up and played more and more football, I kind of, you know, recognize the blessing that it is to have him as my dad. And for me, it's just a game that I love to do, and I want to carry and play as long as I possibly can, and he understands that. You know, it's definitely a huge blessing to finally be here, but a lot of hard work went in behind the scenes to get to where I am today. And, you know, once the Browns called, I knew that this is where I wanted to be. But, you know, before it all even happened, I talked to my dad, and, you know, we talked about it doesn't matter how you get there, you know, it just matters what you do when you are there. And so for me, you know, it doesn't matter that I got here as a free agent. You know, that's just another chip on my shoulder.
Coming up, after losses due to injury and free agency, there are holes to fill by the rookies on defense. Who will step up and take hold of the opportunity? No matter if you're taken in the draft or during free agency, on your first day of training camp, you only have rookie listed by your name.
I'm so excited because I was talking to the Cardinals for a free agency, and then I see this Ohio number call, and I was like, oh, the Browns have a pick next. And then they called me like, yeah, we just drafted you. Sitting on the couch, and I was a wreck. I mean, it was a bunch of emotions. I was happy, excited. It was just a relief. It was a good feeling.
One of the coaches from Cleveland said, hey, Scooby, how are you? We just drafted you. And he's like, oh, okay.
ESPN's running around, and they're trying to film him, and do his thing, so it was exciting.
I think a lot of teams are gonna wish they picked him when it comes time, but now the Dog Pound's got him, so that's a good thing.
Out of way, Scooby! Out of way, Scooby! Good job, Scooby! Scooby, nice job! Scooby, nice job! Scooby, out of baby! Out of baby! Out of way! Out of way!
The thing I'm most excited about playing in Cleveland is probably just to see the fans in full force and be playing in that stadium. We had practice there a few weeks ago, and I couldn't imagine what it's like being on that, and it's sold out crowd and big game.
Drafted in the fifth round, Spencer Drango accompanied fellow Baylor teammate and first-round draft pick Corey Coleman onto the 90-man roster. He also now trains next to one of the players that sets the standard for all offensive linemen in the NFL.
The phone call was kind of a blur. I remember hearing Coach Jackson's voice saying, hey, we're going to, you know, this is Coach Jackson with the Cleveland Browns. We're going to select you with the 168th pick. It was a pretty short phone call. You know, at least it went short to me. It could have been a couple minutes, but to me it was over in an instant. It's always that dream when you're growing up watching. It's like, I want to be there. And then you start to look at all the numbers, because I'm a finance guy and I kind of look at the numbers and the percentages and the odds. And you're like, well, you know, maybe not. I can get as far as I can. And then once you realize you can beat the odds, so to speak, it's kind of a cool feeling. All the guys there are open and willing to help. You know, you go through a drill outside and it's not quite right and you're having trouble, you know, they'll help you work through it. You know, here, try this and this. Or on a play, you know, they're there communicating with you and everything. For a rookie coming in, it was really, really cool experience to meet Joe for the first time. He's one of the best left tackles in the league, if not the best. You know, hopefully future first round Hall of Famer. And, you know, just to have that resource there and him willing to share his knowledge with me is unbelievable.
In a game full of flashy stars, a quiet and unassuming man might be overlooked. But the versatility and ability to make plays when it counts earned Joe the Show Schobert a fourth-round pick.
My mom was definitely have plan B, have plan C, all the way down to Z, like have all these plans laid out, but like, I'm not going to tell you no to chasing your dream. I think my dad, he coached me in all my sports when I was a little kid all the way up to high school. He always kind of believed in me, and he said nobody really pushed him when he was a kid to try to be their best in sports. So he wanted to make sure that if I wanted to do it, he was going to make sure that I took advantage of all my opportunities. And I think definitely my parents were very supportive. The veterans aren't like competitive in terms of making you do everything by yourself. Like, they're helpful. They want you to do the best, because when you're doing your best, you're pushing them to be better and you're making the whole team better as a result. And I think every day we go out with that mindset, especially in the linebacker room. The reason I'm most excited to be in Cleveland is with Coach Jackson, kind of the environmental turnaround that has been experienced here, I think is exciting to be a part of. And Cleveland's a lot like Milwaukee, kind of where I grew up, blue collar city, right on the Great Lake. Lots expected of people to work hard and kind of go about their business and not complain. It's just an exciting place to be.
One player no stranger to hard work is Sean Coleman. After battling leukemia and winning, Sean went on to have a successful football career at Auburn and was drafted in the third round by the Browns.
My whole draft day experience was incredible. I was able to have all of my family there.
We actually watched the draft at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, which is where Sean was treated for leukemia back in 2010 through 2012.
When I first got the call, it was very unexpected, but you know, when I found out it was Cleveland, I was very, very excited. My whole family was excited. They huddled around me. It was just an awesome time for me. It's definitely my dream job to, you know, just get up and go out there and play a game that I love. So, you know, I'm definitely grateful for it and, you know, just blessed to be here.
There's always been something very different about Sean, very unique. He's always been a very determined person. Playing football at five, you could see it. Perseverance has always been in there for him.
Through training camp and things like that, I'm going to have myself prepared for Sundays and to be able to go get some of the best, and I'm going to give my all every single Sunday, and I'm going to try to, you know, be the most successful player that I can be.
The reason I'm most excited to play in Cleveland is because this is a division that has a lot of competition, and we're playing against big-time guys, and, you know, I'm just a competitive guy and love going against, you know, the best players.
Coming up, meet two men that carved their own paths to the NFL and now find themselves striving to succeed. There are few things as unpredictable as the NFL draft, and the Browns took full advantage of their opportunity to negotiate, making deals that landed them an impressive haul. But one spot that they wouldn't release was number 32, where speculation was high on the direction they would go.
Well, when they got to the second round, I had the one track mind, and I really just couldn't come off of it. I just couldn't imagine that they were going to come out of this draft without their quarterback in the future.
I know I was thinking that I was focused more on position. I thought for sure that if Noah Spence was there, they might take a swing at him.
I was saying at that point, come back and take Connor Cook. Local guy, would want to run through a wall for this team.
The Browns first surprised onlookers by taking imposing linebacker Emmanuel Ogbon.
As an organization, we'll always put a premium on players who can rush the passer or affect the pocket. With Emmanuel, we thought he had sort of a unique combination of size, speed, and power.
You know, he's a really good player now, but there's another level he can get to. And I think it goes back to kind of how he was raised and how he grew up. He's just very appreciative of every moment that he had.
Pressure again from Ogbon. It leads to an interception. Picked off.
We actually relocated from Nigeria, but when we came over here, really, we don't know much about football. They came back one day and said, Daddy, I want to play football. I said, what is that? What we know is soccer. My wife said, no, that's not sports. I've seen it on television. They fight.
But I kind of just kept nagging him. I want to play.
And when we discovered he has passion for it, he said we gave him all our blessings and encouragement. And then ever since then, he had not looked back.
And my dad started picking up on the game, started telling me what to do on certain plays. So he actually invested time to learn the game so he could help me out. So that was pretty good for him. Everybody's going to turn the game up trying to make that 53-man roster. And also the rookies feel like they come here to compete. Like we all feel like you got drafted for a reason. You know, they want us to come in and play. So that's how we feel.
We make sure that they get the real, true value of life. Understand what family is. Because family is the bedrock of the society.
Huge guy, so size jumps out at you. I wasn't sure that they would do it in the second round.
And you start to see the wisdom in where they were going with that pick.
Because you learn real quick, they were going to take the best overall athlete with as little background problems as possible. And I didn't think they would go back-to-back pass rushers. I didn't think they might go defensive line that high.
And now that you see that Desmond Bryant is out for the entire season, and you see that Armonte Bryant is out at least for the first four games of the season, it really seems to be quite the smart pick to go pass rusher with Ogba and then come back and go pass rusher again with Carl Nassib.
I think the most interesting part of Carl's story is you have a player who came into Penn State, 6'7", 220, all arms and legs, you know, a walk-on, and he changed his body, developed his game to lead all of college football in sacks.
And there's something about him and the way he's wired that he's just an achiever. I mean, the fact that he was getting ready to go to medical school lets you know that he has a high standard for himself. Like, he has something, an inner drive to him that makes him want to prove you wrong and makes him want to be great.
I'm a totally different person on game day. My most intense moments are on game day. I love game day.
And fumble the football as Nassib's on top.
At the end of the day, you love to compete. You have four other children. They never started out with goals of reaching that level, but they did demand excellence from one another, and they understood what it took to get to certain levels as far as hard work and perseverance. I just wanted them involved in sports to keep them busy. Other than academics, I just wanted to make sure that they didn't have much time to get themselves into trouble.
Far from trouble, the Nassib brothers have all embraced their physical gifts. Ryan currently sits on the Giants roster as quarterback, and younger brother John followed in his father's footsteps to Delaware University as a defensive end. But it was Carl's time developing at Penn State that led him to be one of the Browns' most intriguing prospects in 2016.
Down he goes, Carl Nassib off the edge.
We were really attracted by just sort of his length, quickness, and motor.
You know, walk-ons get, you know, a bad rap. They say, you know, that all they are is high motor guys and they don't have any talent. That's kind of where I came from, and it kind of always drove me to succeed and to be the best. All I ever wanted to do and want to do was be the best.
Good. That's good.
The best in the NFL all end up in one place. And when Building the Browns returns, the entire rookie class take a trip to see where the dream culminates, the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The Pro Football Hall of Fame invited the 2016 rookie class to visit, and in the halls, the players saw their past and witnessed what their future could be.
Coming here with the rookie class was really cool to be able to, you know, kind of get some more understanding of this game. There's so much history behind it, some things that we take for granted, and, you know, to have them give us a tour around here and really just hear the ins and outs of when the game started and how everything originated was really cool.
Coming up and dreaming of playing football, everyone wants to be in the Hall of Fame, and to come here and just to see, you know, all the great players, and it's really exciting.
The coolest thing I saw today was all the draft cards from this year. I got to see my draft card, which was a pretty cool experience.
I tried on some of the old gear. I can't believe they played in some of this stuff. We got it so good in our generation, the luxury of having all this stuff, and then they had no padding. I couldn't imagine playing back then.
That's a struggle for this one.
You can loosen them. It's the second time I've had to help you get dressed lately.
I'm out of breath.
But does that look familiar?
I'm out of breath. Hey, that's my number too. That daddy is the truth.
Got like father, like son right here.
Obviously coming here, I was really excited to see my dad's bus with his induction in 2007. So that was really cool. I'm really proud of that. I remember them like sculpting it and stuff at the house.
Oh, they came to your house?
Yeah.
To see current teammates in the Hall of Fame, it's a pretty cool experience just because there's so much you can learn from them. Watch them and mimic them is a huge step for a rookie to take.
I didn't realize how much of football, like how much history was in Ohio, you know, and you really understand now why football is so big here and why the fans love it so much. So, I mean, it's really cool to be here and be a part of that.
The road to Canton for anyone from the Browns' 2016 draft class is a long one, fraught with challenges both physical and mental. But there is no other time more filled with hope and promise in a player's career than his first training camp. The time is now to start chasing greatness.